Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm excited. I'm excited. It's a new year. Got a lot of things to look forward to. Amen. But I want to begin in many. I think all of us are familiar with this scripture, but Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. Amen. It's one of my favorite scriptures of all. Amen. But this is where we begin for today's message. And it says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 18 and 19, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, says the Lord, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not be aware of it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Rivers in the desert. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, this is a fresh start for 2025 for us. Amen. New year, new season. Amen. And there is new things coming our way, says the Lord. Because even though this was a prophecy that was given to the Israelites from the prophet Isaiah, and in this prophecy, what the Lord was doing, he was revealing the new covenant that we today, believers, live under. Amen. So I believe this verse is saying that this new covenant will be so much greater, and we know it is. Amen. Because we're living under grace, no longer under the law. We're living under grace, under God's grace, which is sufficient for all of us. This is we walk in his grace every day, church. Hallelujah. And what it's saying, what this verse is saying, honestly, that we can't forget the old and begin to enjoy the new things. Amen. So it's like, it reminds me of what Apostle Paul says in the book of Philippians. And I'm going to read it real quick. Philippians 3, 13 through 14. You know, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press forward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Amen. So even Paul says, you know what? Forget the old things. Forget what already has passed away. Put your eyes on what's coming forward. Reach out for those things that are before you and move forward. Press on in Christ Jesus. Not by yourself, but in Christ Jesus, in God's high calling. Amen. Hallelujah. So as we begin this message today, you know, and we get started in this new year, we are just reminded of the power of fresh starts. There's always power when you begin, amen? Because even, let's say a lot of people do make resolutions, and let's be honest. Everybody makes resolutions, and especially when it comes to dieting, and most of us fail, you know? Most of us fail, so it's like resolutions don't work. Because they're choices that you make, but when you add the Lord in those choices, it's going to work, amen? But we think we can do it all. But the word says we can do all things in Christ. In Christ who strengthens us. Amen. So as we begin this new year, as we turn, right? As we turn the calendar into 2025, let's look at it as another spiritual opportunity. Amen. To align ourselves with God's purposes. Let's continue to align ourselves with God's purposes. Brand new year, brand new things to look forward to. So as the year closes and as we invite the new year to come in, you know, we got to leave behind the burdens of the past and embrace the hope of what God can do in and through us in 2025. Amen. So I want to speak to you about three things, you know, that we find in these particular verses. One, we need to let go of the past. Amen. Two, we need to embrace God's new thing. And three, we need to continue to walk in God's promises. Remember, his promises are yes and amen. So we're continuing to walk in his promises. If the promises of God haven't been fulfilled yet, you need to continue to walk towards the promises of God. So that's what I want to talk about today. Amen. So number one, right? Let go of the past. Isaiah 43:18 urges us to forget the former things. This doesn't mean that we ignore the lessons, because when we look back, and I mean, the new year ends in just 2 days. I mean, this 2024 just ends in 2 days and the new year begins. Amen. But when we look at 2024, amen, I'm sure there are lessons that we learned from in 2024. So what this verse is saying doesn't mean to ignore the lessons that you learned, the lessons you learned from the past, but rather don't allow these things that brought you into that mess, don't allow it to enslave you again. Like, learn from it. Learn from the lessons that were taught to you in 2024. So let go of your past failures, maybe, you know, your flaws. Let go of it. Release it. Amen. And move forward. Move forward in those lessons that we've learned. And let's not commit those mistakes again. And part of that is releasing not just the lessons or the failures, but releasing the old hurts. Amen. People were hurt in 2024. People went through things in 2024. And what we got to remember, one, when you release your past failures, God's grace is sufficient to cover our mistakes. Amen. And when we let go of the old hurts, forgiveness sets us free to move forward. So let me go back to releasing your past failures, because this is a big one. Because a lot of people, what they do, they kind of hold on to their mistakes, to their past mistakes. They, if for some reason, they can't let go. But the Lord is saying, no, you need to let go. You need to allow my grace to be sufficient for you for 2025. Let go of what took place in 2024. And in 1 John, let's turn there. 1 John 1:9. Amen. I'm going to go there now. 1 John 1:9. Because this is key for a lot of people. And a lot of people don't really understand this well enough. But if it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's saying here that when we confess our sins, what we're actually doing, we're walking away or turning from our way of thinking and agreeing with the Lord that what we have done was wrong. So we know what the things we did, you know, we've done wrong in 2024. We all know that. But when you literally confess your sins to God and you begin to turn away from whatever mistake you made or whatever you did, maybe you committed sin, who knows? When you do that, when you turn away and you confess it to God, then forgiveness, that is already a reality in our spirit, because remember, the Lord paid the debt for our sins, amen? So then the forgiveness that is already a reality in our spirit becomes a reality in our flesh, amen? And this delivers us from every attack of the devil that we open up ourselves up to.
Amen. So how many of us, if we know that if we don't let go of unforgiveness, it's going to continue to work in you, in your flesh. It's going to continue to build maybe even resentment in your flesh. So it's so important. The Lord is saying, let go, release past failures, release past hurts. Amen. And begin to forgive, because my grace is sufficient. Because if you don't forget, you can't move forward. Because what forgiveness does, it sets us free to move on, to keep moving forward. Amen. So when the Lord is saying here is, when he's saying let go of the past, he's talking about letting go of past failures, past mistakes, and letting go of old hurts. Amen. Now I want to turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. Ephesians 4, verses 31 through 32. And look at what it says. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, outburst, and blasphemies with all malice be taken away from you, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. Amen. I mean, you know, this is what Prophet Isaiah is saying, you know, through the Lord's voice. Let go of the former things. Let go of the old hurts. Amen. Because bitterness, wrath, and anger, they're related to one another. And at times they may be so interdependent, I like to use the word intertwined, you know. They're so intertwined or interdependent with one another that sometimes they're hard to distinguish for us. You know, is bitter the same as anger or rage? Well, it actually isn't. Amen. Bitterness is the mildest of the three words. Amen. And it could be, I would say it could be described as maybe resentment towards another person. Like when you're bitter about something, you're usually bitter about another person. Like maybe this person hurt you or did something or rubbed you the wrong way. Amen. So bitterness is one of the mildest of the three words. Because when you're bitter, you're not really expressing it. You're not really, you're not putting really action behind bitterness. You're just feeling it. You're just, you know, like, oh, I'm so mad. Like, you know, like you're just bitter. You're like, you know. But wrath and anger, you know, when you talk about wrath, it's describing a violent anger or rage that is expressed. You literally, when you're angry, I mean, I remember when I was much younger, I used to get really angry and I used to throw things. Like, I mean, I was doing an action. Amen. So when it comes to wrath or rage or anger, you actually express it in different ways. Look at what happens on the road. When somebody cuts you off, sometimes people get so angry that they begin to road rage, you know, on the highway, and that can cause accidents. Amen. Or sometimes people become so angry that they either start hurting themselves or start hurting others. Amen. So what the Lord is saying, no, don't let go of that, you know, and anger, like bitterness, can be concealed. It does not have to be expressed. So you can be angry within. And what's going to happen? Bitterness is going to grow. Unforgiveness is going to grow. It's going to take place inside your spirit. And you may even become sick. And you may even develop symptoms of sickness because you hold on to that anger. You hold on to that bitterness, to that wrath that you're feeling. Amen. So what the Lord is saying, let go. Let go. It's not worth it. Let go. Forgive just as I forgave you. Amen. So forgiveness, what it does again, sets you free. Amen. So when the Lord is saying, let go of the past, what he's saying, trust me. Just trust me. Let go of it and just put your trust in me. and trust God with unexpected, amen, unmet expectations. That's how we have to trust God. We got to expect the best. Amen. What you may have felt like a loss maybe in 2024 can be a preparation for the next year. Amen. So maybe what you saw in this season, past season in 2024, maybe so, this didn't work out for me. But maybe what God was doing, maybe he was preparing you for the next season that's coming around. Amen. So we shouldn't really see it as a loss. We should just see it as a time of preparation for what God is doing, because we know that God is always working behind the scenes. And what we got to do is trust God with unmet expectations. Amen. We haven't seen, maybe we didn't see it happen in 24, but it's going to happen in 25. So you got to be expecting good things to come. Good things to come to your family. Good things to come to the ministry. Good things to come for the community. You gotta be in a state of expectancy. Expecting good things to come about. And the way you do that is by trusting God. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So again, let go. Let go of the former things. Let go of the past. Number two, embrace God's new thing. God declares, I am doing a new thing. Shall you not perceive it? Shall you not see it? The same God who created the universe continues to create new opportunities, new mercies, new beginnings. This is the God that we serve. He's in the new things. Amen. So he's saying, you know, I'm doing a new thing. Check it out. Look, be aware of it. Amen. Walk towards it. So look for God's movement. So the word of God is saying, look for my movement in your life. Be attentive of how God is working in your life and the way he's working around you. Look, be aware, become aware of the new things and begin to embrace what God is doing. And another thing, what you got to do as you embrace what the Lord is doing, you got to step out in faith, church, because our walk is by faith. If we're going to embrace God's new thing, we got to do it by faith. New things often require us to leave our comfort zone. Just as Peter stepped out on the boat. Remember Peter, when after the Lord had spoken to the multitude, amen, you know, the Lord told the disciple, hey, listen, go to the other side of the sea. I'll be right there. I'm just going to come here and pray for a little bit, and I'll meet you on the other side of the sea. Amen. And what happened? The Lord never went to the other side of the sea. The Lord began to walk on water. Amen. And as the disciples were seated in that boat, a little storm began to come in. And in that storm, they saw the Lord walking on water. And what happened? Peter stepped out by faith and began to step on the water, began to look on God and began to walk on water. But the second that Peter's eyes left the Lord Jesus, the second he put his eyes outside of the realm of Jesus, Peter began to sink. And the Lord pulled him and said, keep your eyes on me. Amen. And this is what God is saying. He says, in order to embrace the things that I have for you, you got to step in faith. Amen. So that may require you to step out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Amen. Which is not a lot of things. People don't really like to step out of their comfort zone. A lot of people like to be in their comfort zone. Amen. They don't like change. Amen. But the Lord, you know, if you're going to move forward, there's going to be change. If you're going to move forward, there's going to be transitioning. If you're going to move forward, you know, be prepared for it. Again, unmet expectation, you need to expect it. Maybe they weren't met in 2024, but you better believe it. You should expect it to happen in 2025. We got to be in a state of expectation. Amen. And another thing I want to mention from Peter walking out of the water, I want you to go real quick to Matthew 14:29. Amen. Because I want you to see something in these verses. In this verse, actually, because only one verse here. Matthew 14:29. Talking about Peter stepping out in faith on water. Here it says, he said, come. The Lord Jesus said, come. If it's in red letters in your Bible, it's the Lord Jesus speaking. He said, come. And when Peter got out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Amen. So he got out of the boat. Amen. But what I'm trying to tell you here, this is the point I want to make, that this come, this word was spoken by the one who made all things. Amen. And it had just as much power in it as the words that were spoken at creation. When the Lord began to speak during creation, he just spoke it and it was so. When the Lord Jesus in this instance said to Peter, come, the power of those words made Peter walk by faith and walk on water. Amen. There was power. There's power in the word of God. There is the word of God is living. There is power in his word. Yes. Amen. Amen. And this was where the power came from. It didn't come from Peter. It didn't come from Peter just fixing his eyes on Jesus. The power came when the Lord Jesus said, come. Amen. Amen. So the power came, hallelujah, in that word that he spoke to Peter to walk on that water. And likewise, any words that we speak, hallelujah, let's put it this way. Any words that are spoken to us by God carries power. Amen. You better believe it, whatever God tells you, it carries power. Because when the Lord speaks, there's an anointing in his word that carries power. Amen. Hallelujah. So we got to be mindful, be aware, be attentive of what the Lord is saying to us today. Amen. Because his word will be fulfilled because there is power in his word. Hallelujah. When that word is released, boom, there's an anointing and there is power. When we speak the word of God during our service, there's power and anointing being released because it is the word of God that is being released. And the way you will receive it, the way I will receive it, I need to believe that word and begin to act on it. I can't just sit on the word, but any word that the Lord gives you, you need to believe it and you need to begin to act on it. And you shall see it come to fruition. You shall see it come to pass. Amen. So again, we're talking about embracing God's new thing. Amen. And again, as I said before, we need to cultivate a heart of expectation because God can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Amen. And that is spoken in Ephesians 3:20. Let's read the verse because this is a powerful verse right here. Amen. Ephesians 3:20. Hallelujah. I hope you're learning something already. God is doing new things in us. Hallelujah. He's doing a new thing around us and through us. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or imagine according to the power that works in us. Amen. And I know I've said this before. A lot of people read and they forget the last few words of this verse. Amen. Yeah, God can do
exceedingly abundantly beyond what we can ask or imagine according to the power that works in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Because if you leave according to the power that works in us, if you leave that out, it changes the whole meaning of the verse. Because we don't have any power. Amen. It is through Christ Jesus that we have the power of God, that we have the anointing of God. Amen. And God, yes, God will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine or even think of. He has the power, but this verse ties the use of his ability to the power that works in us. And no power working in us means there will be no power of God coming through us. So if we have no power, that means God is not active in our lives. Amen? But it's in Christ, through Jesus, that works in us all the power. Amen? That anointing power that we have is in Christ. It's in Christ. And it's working through us right now. Right now. Because Christ lives in us. So yes, God can do more than what you can imagine. Amen. So what we need to do, again, sit, cultivate a heart of expectation. Amen. Expect good things to come. Amen. And as God moves, move with him and move and step out. Step out in faith. Amen. And do what only God can do through you. Amen. Because it is through God. It's through Jesus Christ. Amen. So that was number two, embracing God's new thing. Number three, again, walking God's promises. God promises that he's going to make a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Amen. And that always blesses me, those things, because, you know, the desert is really, really dry. Amen. But the Lord is saying he's going to have rivers running through those dry places, through those wastelands. Amen. So what is the Lord saying? He's going to provide. He's going to provide in your barren places, in your empty places, in your dry places. God is going to provide. And what do we have to do? We just have to trust God. Trust that God will provide even in the challenging circumstances. God is going to provide all that we need. He is called the God. He's called God the provider. Amen. Because he provides everything. You think your job, you got your job on your own? No, God bless you with your job. God bless you with your talent. God bless you with your degree. He strengthened you. Amen. To accomplish all that you have done. And it's all has been done through Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And another thing we can do to walk in God's promises is follow his guidance. And sometimes our paths are uncertain, right? Sometimes we're like, okay, should I go right? Should I go left? Amen. So, but the Lord is saying, you know, follow my guidance. Just follow my path. Lead on me to direct your steps. Amen. And this brings me to our next verse, Proverbs 3:5-6. Let's go there. Hallelujah. I hope this word is blessing somebody. Amen. I know it's blessing me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, because we need to hear this. Hallelujah. It says here in Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Amen. So if you're uncertain of which way to go, hey, go to this verse. Go to these two verses. And the Lord is saying, trust me with everything you have. Don't lean on your own thinking. Don't lean on your own understanding. Amen. It's saying don't lean on your human understanding. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But the Lord is saying in all your ways, in whatever you do, put me first.
acknowledge me, and I will make every crooked road straight. Hallelujah. So when we put our trust in God, we're saying to God, Lord, I'm going to lean on the supernatural wisdom that you have and understanding that comes from you. Amen. This is why, you know, we say many times we have a sound mind. We have the mind of Christ. Amen. Because it is supernatural. The supernatural wisdom and understanding only comes from God. And what these verses are saying, that we as believers, we're supposed to rely on God's giving wisdom and understanding, not our own. Amen. And this is why we have the word, because through his word, God imparts this through his word. You want wisdom and understanding? Read his word. Amen. Ask, and God shall give it to you. Amen. But this is amazing, because in order to walk in God's promises, we cannot lean on our own understanding. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we got to know that God is the provider. Amen. And also, another thing is, he's going to give you strength for your journey. Amen. This walk is not easy, church. You know it and I know it. But the word of God says that he's going to give you strength in the path that you are on. Amen. The word says when we are weak, he is strong. He is strong in us. Amen. Let's turn to the book, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Let's go there real quick. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and this is what it says. So this is Paul speaking. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength, the Lord is speaking, is made perfect in weakness. Amen. Therefore, most gladly I will boast in my weakness. Is what Paul is saying, that the power of Christ, here we have the power of Christ again, right? The power working in us may rest upon me. Hallelujah. This is what Paul is saying to the church. This is because this is something that God told him. My grace is sufficient for you, Paul. So it had to be God's strength that enabled Paul to travel the day after his stoning, right? How many know that Paul was stoned? He was beaten. He was left for dead. Amen. Paul went through hell and back so many times. He probably had cuts. He had bruises. He probably has many swollen parts of his body. Were probably all swollen up because Paul was beat up numerous times. Amen. So what he's saying, that even through my beatings, even through my bruises, I still kept going because the Lord told him, my grace is sufficient for you. Your weakness is made strong and perfect in Christ Jesus. Amen. And Paul, he just took those words and he just began to walk, and he kept going and he kept ministering. He went from one city to another, even all beat up. We can read from scripture that Paul continued to minister. I can't even imagine, you know, a person all beat up, you know, think of yourself all beat up, bruised, attacked, amen, body parts swollen, and yet God still gave Paul, or will give you, the power to continue to bring forth his word, to minister unto others. That's amazing. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, certainly this was an even stronger witness of God's power to those he ministered to, or even to those that we minister to. You know, even in our weaknesses, you know, I know we have ministered to other people, but it's God's strength that overcame Paul's weakness. Mm-hmm. And the reason he took pleasure in suffering, as we know from scripture, was because he knew that the Lord's strength would be manifest in his weakness, that the Lord would use this to bring glory to his name. And this is what we do, what we do, that even when we don't feel like getting up on Sundays, even though may not even make it to service on a Sunday, amen, it's you know, when we don't make it to service, you probably feel something, or you probably feel guilty, or that you didn't make it to service. But when you make it to service, even through your sickness, even through a headache and everything else, the glory of God is manifest. Amen? Because you're allowing the Lord to work through your weaknesses. And this is what God wants. Don't depend on self. Depend on me. Don't lean on yourself. Lean on me. Amen. Because through Christ Jesus, you can do all things that strengthens you. Through Christ. Amen. And this is why Paul took pleasure in his suffering. Because he knew that whatever he did, wherever he went, he went ministering the gospel, sharing the gospel, lifting people up, healing people. Amen. And that brought glory to God. Amen. And that was the only reason why he kept going, because he knew the power of God in his weakness was made perfect. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So here, through in these two verses, amen, and I'm going to read them again, hallelujah, because it is the content of the message. In Isaiah 43, 18, 19, it says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Amen. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Do you not see it? I am making a new way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So the Lord is saying, I'm doing the new thing. Let go of the past. Number one, he's saying, let go of the past. Number two, embrace God's new thing. And number three, walk in his promises. Amen. And there are practical things that we can do for this new year to make all these things come to play, come to pass, come to fruition. Well, one, we can commit daily time with God. Amen. We can continue to pray. We can continue to read scripture and anchor ourselves in his word and in his plans. Amen. Because we got to know that it's his plans, not our plans, but his plans, not our understanding, but his understanding. Amen. Not our wisdom, but his wisdom. Amen. So practical ways for us to enter the new year. Commit daily time with God. Two, set spiritual goals. Aim, church, aim. And I'm talking to myself today too. Aim to grow in areas like service, generosity, and community. Let's aim to do more. Let's do more than what we did last year. Amen. Aim and set spiritual goals. Number three, surround yourself with encouragement, meaning surround yourself with like-minded believers. Amen. Fellowship. Amen. Hallelujah. Have maybe become accountable to somebody in something that you want to do in 2025, whether it's exercising, changing your health habits, amen, maybe a Bible study or something, whatever that is. Surround yourself with encouragement. And four, trust God with your plans. Listen, if we don't trust God, we have nothing. We gotta trust God with our plans. So that means we have to submit our desires to his will. Father, your perfect will be done in my life. It is your will, not my will, be done. Amen. We got to trust God. Let's go. Let's turn to Proverbs 16:9. Maybe we'll make this our last scripture. Proverbs 16:9. Proverbs 16:9. The heart of man
devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Amen. And this is what it means to trust God with his plans. Amen. We have to submit ourselves. Amen. For God to do his perfect will in our lives. Even, you know, sometimes even when we seek the Lord, believers seek the Lord and yield to him as much as they know how to. But sometimes, even though we're seeking him and following him perfectly, we don't always lean on God's mercy and God's grace. We really don't really move in God's way, even though we're doing all the right things. But if our hearts are not in it, it's not really pleasing God. Amen. We got to trust God with all our heart. Amen. You could read all the scripture you want, but if your heart is not in it, or if you're just reading and you're not really studying, you're not really trusting God. Amen. Your heart has to be in it wholly. Amen. Hallelujah. And this is what this verse is referring to. The heart of men devises his ways, and God looks at our heart. Amen. So we got to trust God. Amen. Commit daily. Set spiritual goals. Surround yourself with like-minded people. Hallelujah. And trust God in his plans. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So church, as we enter this new year, because this year, 2024 is about to end, we have to fix our eyes onto Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Keep your eyes locked on the Lord. Keep your eyes locked on the Word of God. Amen. Let us release what is behind us and press forward. Let's press forward into what God has prepared for us for 2025, because his plans are always for our good, to give us a future and a great hope. Amen. So remain, church, remain in the Lord's hands, remain faithful, keep trusting God, and you will see the new things come to pass in 2025. Amen. Hallelujah. You are blessed, church. You're so blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you that we have to press forward, church. Gotta press forward. Amen.